Our Personal Responsibilities by Virginia Brandt Berg.
A precious old hymn came to my mind so many times recently when I was with my dear husband in the hospital. I would visit the hospital every day when he was ill, and I would watch those dear ones there in the different beds. Oh, the suffering. Then I would look out through the windows of the tall hospital, out to the highway where cars were rushing back and forth, and I would think about poor lost humanity, but especially those who I met in the hospital and in the waiting room. So many who are sorrowful, so many with broken hearts, and I thought how much they need the Father's mercy and how the Lord needs us as lower lights to keep burning. And that precious old song would come to me. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, is trying now to make the harbor, and in the darkness may be lost. Some poor, fainting, struggling seaman you may rescue, you may save. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. That wonderful old song coming to my heart made me hope that people would catch a vision of service for others. And I think of this wonderful passage in Matthew chapter 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. I saw some of those dear ones, especially the very aged, lie there day after day. For a month I visited the hospital, and no one ever came to see them. You know, God has entrusted us with some sacred responsibilities, certain things which need our attention in life. Lots of things are demanding our attention. So many things are happening on the stage of life today. The calls are multitudinous, and there's so little time in the mighty rush of time. We have to face the issue of what is the greatest outstanding purpose of life. Of course, God's word tells us that, first of all, it's to work out our own salvation. But after that, it is the salvation of those around us, the furtherance of God's kingdom. These are the sacred trusts, and they need to be put in their rightful place. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, how trite that can sound to us. We have heard it so many times. The first priority for every Christian is the eternal things, not temporal. But so often, God is set aside and the mere trifles are attended to before these two outstanding purposes in life, your own salvation and the care of the souls around you. Maybe I told you the story long ago about the old lady in Valparaiso, Indiana. that H.B. Brown, the president of Valparaiso University, Indiana, sent on a trip from Valparaiso to Chicago. She'd always wanted to take that trip. Afterwards, the conductor said that she fussed with her handbag and a little satchel all the way into Chicago. She never looked out at the scenery. She had talked about wanting to see what it looked like on the road between Valparaiso, Indiana, and Chicago, and H.B. Brown had tried to meet the desire of her heart. But she didn't deal with the main purpose of her trip at all. She forgot all about that and just fooled with those little inconsequential things. There was misplaced attention, a false priority. The emphasis was in the wrong place. Quietly and sincerely, we ought to review the past week, the past month, and meditate on how much of the temporal rather than the eternal has occupied our time and thought. We sing that we are pilgrims and strangers in this world, but we don't act like it a great deal of the time. I've so often said, no man is a great man, no woman is a great woman, unless they have a sense of values. But often we keep from doing the better things because we're so occupied with the things that are secondary. That's what the scripture talks about when Jesus said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." Matthew chapter 25, verses 42 through 45. There are such great possibilities and such promise in your life, and you have all the resources of heaven at your command. What a blessing you could be in your neighborhood. What a joy you could be in your church. What an uplift you could be to your pastor. God will ask you someday, what kept you from doing these things? What kept you from the things which you should have put first? The world is so full of opportunity, and eternal things are calling so loudly. The need is so very desperate. Oh, how true those words. Dark the night of sin has settled. Loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. And we are the lights along the shore. Christians are the lower lights. The upper lights are the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we are the lower lights. Nobody else is going to tell them if we don't. And no one else will call on the sick and those who are in prison and those who need clothing. A man came to our door the other day. He was brought there by someone who picked him up on the highway and brought him to us to talk to him. And do you know, he was 60 years old and no one had ever presented him with the plan of salvation? No one had ever talked to him about Jesus. If we fail in the supreme task of life, and we make utter shipwreck the great purpose of life, which is our salvation and the salvation of others, and we come to the end of the road and offer God trifles instead of the great immortal purpose of life, what is our reward going to be? What makes this issue so pertinent, so vital, is that we have at our command the remedy for all the world's ills. And that is the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how he can transform lives. I think of people like Tony Fontaine. We heard him give his life story the other night about how he'd been so cruel to his mother and so indifferent to God. He didn't want to hear anything about the gospel. And then God so wonderfully transformed his life. And he was then such a blessing. We pray, Father God, cleanse us from selfishness. Cleanse us from accepting secondary things, instead of pursuing the great purpose of our life in a world so full of opportunity. Forgive us and cleanse our hearts from what has kept us from fulfilling our mission in life. God bless you. We're praying for you, and He's still on the throne. Prayer will change things for you.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.